27. Acts chapter 27. My subject, God in the midst of your storm. God in the midst of your storm. Acts 27 and 9. Now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading or the cargo in the ship, but also of our lives. Verse 11, nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than the things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious or favorable to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia and to winter there, which is a haven of Crete, which lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, a soft wind and a soft doctrine can take you to the wrong place. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up in the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into quicksand, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tacklings of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on earth, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Acts 27:21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, that must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. The angel of the Lord said, Paul, the ship's going down, but everyone that sails with you on this ship, they are going to survive. And they all made it, and not a man was lost. The ship was lost, but everyone on board that ship, they made it to shore. My subject, God in the midst of your storm, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we have witnessed what the storms have done through the testimonies we have seen this morning. People, Lord, in a storm of sickness. People in a storm, Lord, of grief and pain. People going through the storms of life. But, Lord, you were in the midst of the storm, and you stepped on board and brought them safely through the storm. I praise you, God, for your goodness. I praise you for your mercy. I pray, God, that you'll let me preach this with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Lord, take me over. Use me. Make me into what you want me to be. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is a great story telling about how God can deliver not only from a natural storm, but from the storms of life. Now, Paul was in a natural storm and the wind was blowing and it was a tempestuous storm. And the Bible says all hope was gone. But Paul slipped away and he prayed and he talked to the Lord his God, and God brought a mighty deliverance. The storms of life, they come to us all. And so we're doing a series on Wednesday night on surviving the storms of life. Storms such as anger, discouragement, brokenheartedness, unforgiveness, bitterness, tragedy, loneliness, rejection, jealousy, and so forth. And I'm doing this series because no one is exempt from the storms and the issues of life. And over in the 7th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, the rains will descend, the floods will come and rise against you, and the winds will blow and it will beat upon your house and upon your life. But Jesus promised that if we will build our lives on the bedrock of God's word, that when the storms come, you're going to make it. Somebody shout hallelujah with me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many of you have never had a problem, never had any trouble in all of your life? There's not one person in this sanctuary or watching by live stream or Facebook that can lift your hands and say amen to that. We all face storms because all of you and myself also, we've had our share of storms and troubles. I want to ask you, are you in a storm today? Is the wind blowing? Has the sun gone out of sight? Have you not seen the stars or the moon or the sun for a long time? Does it look like everything is going wrong in your life? Your finances are down. Your bills are piling up. You're having trouble in your marriage, trouble in your home. Your kids have gone astray, and it looks like everything is dark and falling apart. Friend, that's where people are living today. And then sometimes you're just sailing along, and your family's all right, and your finances are all right, and then a dark depression comes, and it just tries to settle over you. And somehow things just begin to go wrong and things get tough in life. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Say amen. Amen. Well, God has a message for you. And God wants you to know that he can deliver you from any and every storm. And I want you to notice several things about this story. First of all, I want you to notice it's always good to follow the inward witness that you have, no matter what the outward circumstances look like. It's always good to follow that inward witness that you have, no matter what the outward circumstances look like. Did you notice that Paul said, I perceive that this voyage is going to be dangerous. As far as they were concerned, everything in that situation looked good. The winds were blowing right. The weather seems right. And it looked right to the carnal mind. And the Bible says the south winds blew softly. And they just sailed on out there, out on the sea. And the Bible says, but Paul perceived something in his spirit. Many of the people that are listening to me right now, God has already been talking to you. And he has told you not to do certain things, and you did it anyway. And that's how you got yourself in trouble. But all the time, you knew exactly what God wanted you to do. It's when we go against the inward witness of the Spirit that we get in trouble. Paul said, I perceive. You know, it doesn't matter what the carnal mind may say. It doesn't matter what the situation may say. Everything may say it's all right, just launch on out. But inside of you, you've got something churning up and down, churning up and down and saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. But everything else says it's all right. Always know this, that it is right to follow the inward witness that you have. That is the voice of God. The devil speaks from out here. I learned that in life. And God speaks to me from my insides. Hallelujah. I don't care what the outward circumstances may say. If God is telling you inside, don't do it, then don't do it. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Look at Romans 8 and 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Look at your name and say, I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, testify. Tell them, I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. And everything's going to be all right, no matter how great the storm. Always follow the inward witness. You know, when I get in trouble, I'll tell you when. I get in trouble when I don't obey the feeling that I feel down inside of me. How many of you know what I'm talking about? God has already spoken to you through the inward witness. Learn to listen to the inward voice of the Spirit. Paul said, I perceive that there is danger. And he tried to get them not to go. Point number two. The second point is God was interested in Caesar. God was interested in Caesar. Caesar was the ruler of the Roman Empire. God told Paul, you must go and stand before Caesar. See, God loves the leaders of this world. And Caesar was the dictator of the world. He was the ruler of the whole known world at that time. And Jesus was interested in Caesar. He was interested so much that he told Paul, he said, I don't care how many storms come or what comes against you. You're not going down. You're not going to be defeated. You're not going to die because I have ordained that you are going to go and stand before Caesar. And you're going to preach my gospel and you're going to tell him about the lordship of Jesus Christ. And you cannot be stopped, Paul, because I have ordained this in your life. Hallelujah. You're going to stand before Caesar, Paul. How would you like to get a promise like that? God says, you can't die before my will is accomplished in your life. Oh, they tried to kill old Peter. They couldn't kill Peter. They killed the brother of James and put Peter in prison. They said, we'll kill him too. But Jesus already told him back in the 21st chapter of John, he said, when you're old, another man is going to gird you and lead you where you don't want to go. This spake he of his death. He's in the prison. He's just sleeping on a pillow of peace. He's just having a good time there. Amen. And so much so, God had to send an angel into that place, shook him. Hallelujah. Woke him up and said, come on, Peter, get up and get dressed. God's not going to dress you. You got to dress yourself. Amen. Come on, get up and get dressed. We're getting out of this place. And God wrought a mighty deliverance there because God had said, Peter, you can't die before my will is accomplished in your life. Hallelujah. That tells me that God is interested in world leaders because God said, Paul, you're going to stand before Caesar. That tells me that God is interested in our president. And it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican or whatever. If you're a Christian, it's easy to see that President Donald Trump has done more to reestablish Judeo-Christian values than any other modern president that we've had. Go on, praise God. And not only that, President Donald Trump, he has stood in the midst of the storm, amen, and the opposition to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. It's the city of the great king, glory to God. God already said it. Nobody else had the nerve to stand up and say it, but this man did against all odds. He stood up and declared that it will no longer be happy holidays in America, but everywhere will be Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And he stood up against the political opposition. And as a nation, we have recognized the sovereignty and the true and living God of the Bible. Hallelujah. We're not an Islamic nation. We're not a Buddhist nation. We're not a nation of agnostics and unbelievers. Oh, they're out there. We're a Christian nation. And God has ordained the church and put it down here to go and bring the harvest in. Go and praise God. Hallelujah. If you're a Christian, you need to stand up and stand with this modern day Cyrus that God has raised up. And if that ruffles your political feathers and your religious feathers, then so be it. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach the truth simply because Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Sometimes you just got to stand against the tide of popular opinion. You got to stand in the storm and say, as for me and my house, we know what we're talking about. We're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. We don't need political correctness in this America that we live in. We need biblical correctness. biblical correction. Hallelujah. That's what we need is the Bible. God is interested in world leaders. God is interested in those in high places. And God wants us to stand and to give a witness. And God wants us to know that no matter what man does or what the natural forces do, He wants us to know that there is nothing, nothing, nothing that can stop His divine purpose. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, thou shalt see the glory of God. God is God. And when God says, stand before Caesar, then that's where you'll stand. Hallelujah. Look at the prayer team, the evangelical prayer team that's around our president. He has men coming and praying. Oh, he doesn't live right. He's new at this thing, you know. His vocabulary, it betrays him at times. But he believes in Christian values. And he believes in this Christian nation. And when he stands there and says, make America great again, he's not saying he's going to do it. He's saying God's going to do it. Because we're going back to our Judeo-Christian values. Go on, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to know that the same God is interested in me. And the same God is interested in you. And God has a plan for your life. Aren't you glad that God has a plan for your life? I mean, God Almighty that rules the universe. He wanted Caesar to know about the lordship of Jesus Christ. He thought he was the ruler. He said, Paul, I want you to go preach to this man and let him know the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is God. And when he says stand there, guess what? He wants us to stand. So let the storms come. Let the rain descend. Let the floods come. And let the winds blow. But God will see you through every storm. If you will build your life on the bedrock of God's word. I want you to look at what Jesus said in Matthew 7:24. Matthew 7:24. Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Is your life founded upon the rock today? That's why we're doing this series on Wednesday night, on surviving the storms of life. If you will take God's word, and if you will order your life after, if you will learn to forgive people, if you learn to be a peacemaker, if you'll get rid of all the bitterness and everything that tries to come into your heart from the past, and people, some of them got a somebody did me wrong song. Well, just decide I'm going to forgive them. We're doing this so the church can walk in the victory that God ordained for the church. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Have you got faith today? Then don't be a hearer of the word only. Be a doer of the word also. Jesus said, whoever hears my saying and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his life upon the rock. So today, I want you to say it with me. God bless America. Say it. God bless America. God bless America. From sea to shining sea. Hallelujah. Thirdly, I want you to notice that God looks at things from a different viewpoint from man. God looks at things from a different viewpoint from man. I want you to notice that Paul was a prisoner. And they had him in chains. And he was being dragged along and carried off. And he tried to give them some advice. He was in touch with God. And he said, don't do this thing. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't you do this thing. This man was in touch with God. And they said, why, you're just a prisoner. Get on in here. We're taking you to Rome. We're going to take you and put you in prison. As far as they were concerned, they were just taking Paul as a prisoner to Rome. And they said, who's that little fellow over there? And someone said, why, he's just a prisoner. He's not important. He even tried to get us not to take this voyage. But don't listen to him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's not the captain of this ship. He's not in charge of anything. See how man thinks? He does not think like God. But when the storm was about to take them out, God spoke. And God said, fear not, Paul. I love this. For there will be no loss of the lives, for I'm going to give you all them that sail with you. As far as God was concerned, the whole bunch was sailing with Paul. Let me say that again. As far as God was concerned, the whole bunch was sailing with Paul. Hallelujah. But the world looks on you and they think, you're not important. You're nothing. You're a nobody. Why, you're just a little preacher. You're just a little Sunday school teacher. You're just a little secretary out there working. You're just a janitor. You're just a maintenance man. But God looks down and he says, why have you seen my servant over there? Why, he's the light of the world. And he sends you into that job situation to get those heathens saved. You're his light. The world may see you as nothing, but God sees you as his child, his ambassador, his light to the world. You're the salt of the earth in God's eyes, say hallelujah. You're his and you're chosen to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And God is in charge. And as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And to do those that are led by his Spirit, hallelujah, he leads them in paths of righteousness. And he leads them in paths of victory. And he leads them and leads them through every storm. And no matter how great the storm, God is in the midst of the storm. God is in charge. The world may look on us as say, they're nothing. But God has a divine plan for our lives. And God can put you right where he wants you. Let me say that again. God has a divine plan for people's lives. And God can put you right where God wants you. Hallelujah. Go on, praise God. Amen. Pastor Ricky, he made a powerful statement in his recent message Wednesday night on discouragement. And he said, and I quote, don't make a permanent decision based on a temporary circumstance. That was so powerful, I just wrote it down. Don't make a permanent decision based on a temporary circumstance. That's powerful. I remember, you know, when I was a young Christian, my life, it really needed fixing. It was all messed up. But I got saved. And I got saved real good. And I had some discouraging voices that tried to keep me from having all the joy that I had. But I was saved and I knew I was saved. And I was seeking God. And I remember that I was about to make a move. And if I had done what I was fixing to do, I would have messed up everything that God was doing in my life. And God showed me a picture of a gigantic puzzle. And in that puzzle, there were the pieces of my life. And God showed me how he was working everything in that puzzle to my good. And when I saw that puzzle and the pieces that God was working and putting in order, God spoke to me and God spoke into my spirit, said, if you do what you're planning to do, then I will have to start all over with a completely new set of circumstances before I can correct and fix the things in your life. My. I'm glad I heard that inward witness. I'm glad the Holy Ghost showed me and kept me on the course that God had purposed for my life. So many times we look at the circumstances and we follow the human will and we just get out of God's will. Let me say that. We follow the human will, and when we do, we get out of God's will and what God is doing in our life. Look at Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. This is a law. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If you are living according to God's will, and if you love God, that's not a storm, that's not a devil, that's not a circumstance, that's not a situation that can come against you, that God won't take you through it. He said, when you go through the fire, when you go through the flood, when you go through the waters, none of it will overcome you, because I have purposed victory for your life. Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God said, I'm working everything to you good, yet so many times we look at the circumstances and we follow the human will and we get out of God's will. And when we do, God has to take the new situation and start all over, putting the pieces back in order to work out his plan for our life. How many of you and how many people do you know that have aborted God's plan simply because they did not stand in the face of the storm? Now, Paul, he's in the midst of the storm. And the angel came to Paul and spoke God's message. Thank you, Lord. Do you know the seven angels over there in the book of Revelation? They are the preachers and the messengers of God to the seven churches there in Asia. God sent an angel. I say, God, why'd you ever choose me? You know, I wouldn't even chosen me. But he did, and he chose me to go preach his word and to help people. Help people that are in the storms. To carry his power, his anointing, and his glory in the homes, into business, in the situations. And let people know God loves you. And God will see you through the storm. The angel came and spoke God's message. And Paul stood up. He said to the people, I know what it looks like. I know it looks like all hope is gone. But I exhort you to be of good cheer. What do you mean, Paul, be of good cheer? Why, we haven't seen the stars. We haven't seen the moon. We haven't seen the sun for days. And it looks like all hope is gone. And Paul, you're saying be of good cheer? How can we be of good cheer at a time like this, Paul? Have you lost your mind? Why, the winds are blowing, Paul. The waves are dashing. The ship is cracking. It's about to break to pieces. And it looks like all hope is gone. And Paul, you're saying, be of good cheer. Have you lost your mind? You know, if you get to hearing from God, people think you're crazy. I'm talking about people in the church. My mother told me years ago, I was telling about the visions God was giving me as a young Christian. She said, son, don't tell that to everybody. She said, they'll think you crazy. They still think it. Woo, but I'm crazy for Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul, you're beside yourself. Well, I'm beside myself too. When I think about this great salvation, I think about how he reached way down, walked across by some great people, PhDs, doctors and lawyers and businessmen, successful people. And he reached way down there in the cesspool of sin and iniquity, laid his hand on me and said, I choose you. Woo! I don't know why he did, but I'm so glad he did. Hallelujah. Go on, praise God. He put his hand on you and selected you and said, I choose you. Hallelujah. Looked like all hope was gone. So many people today, they look and they say, no hope for my family. There's no hope for my finances. They're facing bankruptcy. They don't know what to do about their bills. They don't know what to do about their marriage. And someone is fighting alcohol and it looks like all hope is gone. You don't know what to do. I want to tell you something. God is bigger than that alcohol. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All hope is not gone. The Because God is bigger than all your problems. God is bigger than all your needs. God is a heavyweight. When God steps in, everything changes. He just starts to shake himself a little bit. And every demon of darkness has to move back. Amen. Jesus spake. The religious crowd there said, never man spake. They just fell back. Tried to arrest him. All he did was spoke. God can talk to you. Hallelujah. All hope is gone. Don't listen to the voice of the devil. It's a very depressing hour when all hope is gone. And we all face the storms of life. And when we do, sometimes it just looks like that. And that's the way it was with Paul and these men on the ship. But God appeared in the midst of the storm. God knew where Paul was. He knew who Paul was. Amen. And God knows where you are. And God knows who you are. And God can solve your problem, no matter how great the storm. It looked like all hope was gone, but the angel of the Lord came and gave Paul a message from God. Paul slipped away in the midst of the storm. He slipped away into the world of prayer. He knew his strength was in the world of prayer. Look at Acts 27:21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood in the midst of them. He'd been praying. And says a long prayer. After long abstinence. He prayed, like those old saints said. He prayed till he prayed it through. He got an answer. After long abstinence, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened to me and not have loosed from Crete and not have gained this harm and loss. But now, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Whose I am and whom I serve. Whose I am and whom I serve. Saying, fear not, Paul. That must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given thee all of them that sail with you. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That's powerful. Paul said, the God whose I am and the God whom I serve. Paul said, I belong to God. Do you belong to God? Do you belong to Jesus? Have you ever totally surrendered your life to his will and his lordship? Have you ever said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ? Has he talked to you? If you're watching by live stream or Facebook over and over and you felt the tugging of the Holy Ghost and he's saying, come, I want to save you. I want you to know my joy and my peace. You don't have to live like you're living. He said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died for your sin as your sin substitute, and you believe he rose from the dead, if you'll believe that in your heart and confess him as Lord with your mouth, you shall be saved. Hallelujah. My God. Woo! Glory. How many heard that inward voice? How many of you heard that inward voice? Go on, praise him. I perceive God is talking to me. Woo! I perceive. I've got a spiritual perception. Hallelujah. Paul said, I belong to God. The God whose I am and the God whom I serve. And no matter how great the storm, how black the night, I thank God that I am anchored to Jesus and I belong to God. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I belong to God. I'm anchored to Jesus. The God whose I am and the God whom I serve. You know, there's strength in that. Did you know that even in the storms of life, you belong to God and it is God who you're serving? The Bible says, you shall serve the Lord your God and he will bless your bread and he will bless your water. He will bless your body and he will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And nothing shall be barren and nothing shall be lacking in your life. And the number of days I will fulfill. What a promise from God. All because you have blood covenant and you belong to Jesus. Go on, praise him for the blood. There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. There's wonder working power in the blood. Hallelujah. He said nothing shall be barren or lacking in your life. And the number of your days I will fulfill. Paul couldn't die. He was on his way to Rome. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if any man will serve me, him will my Father honor. Are you serving him and doing what he called you to do? If you are, then God will honor you. If you're not, fill in the blank. The God whose I am, woo! And the God whom I serve. That's what he's talking about. And Paul said, you're all going to be all right. You're all going to be saved as long as you stay with the ship. And I just love what he says. He said, therefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God, and it shall be just as he told me. Hallelujah. Here's the crux of the message. Here's the bottom line. But those of you going through the storm, here's the word for you. It's easy to praise God when everything is going great. It's easy to praise God when the sun is shining. It's easy to praise God in the calm weather. It's easy to praise God when you don't have any pain in your body. It's easy to praise God when you don't have any trouble in your family. You don't have any trouble in your finances. Everything is just coming up roses. It's easy to praise God like that. But I'm here to tell you, you can have a song in your heart in the night when it's aching, almost breaking. Anyone can sing when the sun is shining bright, but you can have a song, woo, in your heart, deep down in your spirit, in the storms of life. Hallelujah. This man, Paul, he stood in the face of the blinding wind. He stood in the face of the torrential rain. He stood in the face of the sinking ship. There were 276 souls on board that ship. They were all souls. The Bible calls them souls. They were souls that needed to be saved. And Paul was an evangelist. Hallelujah. He stood in the midst of it all. And it looked like nothing could save them. And he said, and I believe God. And I believe God told the truth. Hallelujah. I believe God and I believe it shall be even as he has told me. And they all made it through the storm. Some on boards, the Bible says, and some on broken pieces. But they all made it. And they all made it because one man. One man. They all made it because one man heard from God. Has God spoken to you? And has God given you a promise? Has God spoken to you about your situation? Has he spoken through my lips of clay this morning? Then be of good cheer. Stand in the midst of the storm. And you shall see the salvation of the Lord. And you've got God's word on it. God said, fear not, Paul, you're going to make it. And God has given you all of them that sail with you. Let us stand. He's a great God. He's a wonderful Savior. He's so good to us. And even in the midst of the storm, he is there. His name is Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. The God who will never leave you. The God who says, I'll do this if you will do that. That God will keep his word and his promises to you, and you can make it through your storm.
the midst of our storm.
Just worship Him.
He's in the valley we walk.
This is Holy Ghost singing right here.
Where two or three.
God spoke to me. God said, have Him sing that song. I heard from God. He's with us now.
Our Lord, He's in the midst. As you travel down life's road.
Let's travel on down to the altar. Talk to our God. Tell Him about your storm. Come on. Everybody come. Tell Him about your storm.
He's walked ahead of you.
That storm's in life. The heartache, brokenness, but He heals and bounces up.
Angels are camping all around. I'll never be alone, for He is in the midst. He's in the midst of our storm.
Come on in close so everybody can get into these altars. Make room. Come on up close, everybody. Come on close. Get into where the Spirit is moving around these altars. Build an altar in the middle of your mess. Hallelujah. Glory.
So all alone, He is standing next to you. He's with
Come on in, everybody. Come on in. We got plenty of room. Make room for everybody. Tighten up. Like they say in the Marine Corps.
Into the prison they were thrown. Paul and Silas weren't alone. They knew their God.
Lord, I just pray for your people. Those that are going through great storms, who suffered great heartache, where the enemy has come, tried to come in like a flood of storm, that you said, I'm in the midst.
He's in the midst of our
Yeah,
with us now.
Yeah, that's it.
Woo!